Good morning. Welcome to Library Talk. I'm Rebecca Heaton. With me here is Ellen Borders to give us Ellen's Book Bites. So let's get right down to it, shall we? Tell us, Ellen, what have you been reading?
One of the books that I thoroughly enjoyed, and I think it's one of the best cookie recipe books that I've ever seen, is Martha Stewart's Cookies. Just to give you an idea, she divides these up, and just the divisions sound good. And the divisions are light and delicate, rich and dense, chunky and nutty, soft and chewy, crisp and crunchy, cakey and tender. Three of the recipes that looked excellent to me, among others, were iced oatmeal applesauce cookies, apricot windows. This is like a bar cookie, but it's got latticework on top and apricot preserves in the middle. Another one that looks really good is under the cakey and tender category, and they're carrot cake cookies. And you make up the dough, and then the middle of the cookie has a cream cheese frosting. This book is beautifully done. There are color photographs of every cookie in the book, very detailed instructions, and it's just a gorgeous, wonderful book. And again, that's Martha Stewart's Cookies. One book that I found very, very interesting is called The Best American Medical Writing 2009. Now, this is a book of essays. It's not necessarily all written by doctors. For example, one of them was My Daughter's $29,000 Appendectomy. This is written by a man whose daughter had to have emergency surgery. He finally got a detailed invoice from the hospital breaking down everything. It was pretty amazing what he found and how much the people at the hospital did not want to talk to him about this itemized bill. Another one that I thought was interesting in this book was Mind Bomb. This is about a man whose mother had Huntington's disease, which is a genetic disease. It affects the nervous system. Because it's a genetic disease, there's testing that you can have done to find out if you're a child of someone who has this disease, if you carry the gene. This man has to make a decision whether he wants to have that genetic testing or not. It's a very hard decision for him because he sees what his mother's going through, and he doesn't know if he wants to really know if he's going to have that disease or not. Another one that I enjoyed in this book was called Fixing Mr. Fix-It. And this is about a man who was just able to do everything. If anything went wrong, he could fix it. Well, he was in an accident where both of his arms got cut off. They did reattach them, and this tells about how he went through the healing process. Another one that I thought was interesting is called Doctors Within Borders. Now, we hear a lot about Doctors Without Borders and what they do in foreign countries, but Doctors Within Borders, it's a medical group called Remote Area Medical. This takes place mostly in Kentucky and West Virginia, and these are people who are too poor to get medical help. And when these doctors go in there, these Doctors Within Borders, they often have people stand in line for hours and hours. And then after they've stood in line, they get told, okay, well, we can see you, but it's going to be another 6 hours. Mm-hmm. And they have no complaints about waiting in line. And a lot of this is not only doctors, but dentists. And I just found this very interesting. And then the whole book is called The Best American Medical Writing 2009. A novel that I read is called Heritage of Shadows by Madeline Brent. This is a very good story. It takes place in Paris and also in England. It starts out with the main character, Hannah. She's a waitress in Paris. One night on her way home from work, she comes upon a man who is being mugged. She saves his life. Because of her saving his life, this makes a huge change in her own life. She winds up going to England and has a job as a governess. And the story progresses from there. It's very enthralling story and a real page-turner. And again, the name of that is Heritage of Shadows by Madeline Brent. Another novel I read is called Law's Orchestra Saves the World by Alexander McCall Smith. Alexander McCall Smith is the author who has written the number one Ladies Detective Agency series, and this is a departure from that. It's a standalone story. It's about a woman in England who loses her husband. She's living in London, and she makes the decision to go and live in the country. This is at the time of World War II. In London, there are bombings and rationings, and when she's living in the country, she gets a job taking care of an older man's chickens. So it's a little bit of her life in the country, how she deals with hard things that happen to her. It's a very good story, but I felt like the author could have done a better job with his characters. I felt he didn't really develop his characters well enough. For example, Law is the main character. Her real name is Lavender, and everyone calls her Law. And she puts together a little orchestra in this small country town. But it doesn't really give you much detail about the orchestra or the people who played in it. And I felt like the story could have been developed better in those areas. And again, the name of that is Law's Orchestra Saves the World. One book that's in our business section that I found very interesting is called The Power of Small, Why Little Things Make All the Difference. This is by Linda Kaplan Thaler and Robin Koval. These women run an ad agency, and this was very unusual for women to start their own agency. But one of the things that happened was they started very small. They gave good service. They prospered in their business. They paid a lot of attention to details. One of the things that they emphasize in this book is listening to your employees. For example, they had a famous hotel in downtown San Diego called the El Cortez Hotel. They had one elevator. It was so slow that they decided that they were going to add another elevator. This would have cost the hotel a lot of money, because they would have had to close down while they did the renovation. Well, a janitor overheard them talking about this. And of course, he would have been laid off for the months that it would have taken to install the new elevator. And he said, "Why don't you put an elevator on the outside of the building?" And that's exactly what they did. They put in a glass elevator on the outside of the building. And this was one of the first buildings where that had ever been done. People loved it because they could go up in this glass elevator and they could see views of San Diego and the bay, all because they listened to this lowly janitor. It saved his job and it saved them thousands of dollars because they were able to be open the whole time that they were installing this elevator on the outside. Another thing that happened was there was a company that owned many, many restaurants, and they had terrific breakage of water glasses and wine glasses, and they could not figure out. They were talking in a meeting about how they were going to have to, should they go to plastic? Should they replace everything? What should they do? Well, during the break, the busboy went up to one of the executives and he says, "I overheard you." And he said, "You know, I think that the problem is the dishwashers have too much vibration in them and they vibrate all the time. And that's where what's happening with the breakage." So they got new dishwashers and they gave the busboy a $150,000 tip because it saved them literally millions of dollars because of all the restaurants that they owned. So the power of small is that you listen and that you pay attention to details. And I found this book very interesting. And again, the name of it is The Power of Small, Why Little Things Make All the Difference by Linda Kaplan Thaler and Robin Koval. One book that's very good for our times is called Social Graces, Words of Wisdom on Civility in a Changing Society. Now, the cover is great. It shows a man and a woman sitting at a fancy table with the wine bucket sitting by. The man is holding the woman's hand, but he's also talking on his cell phone. So what this book discusses are just everyday manners. These are essays written by several different people, and one of my favorites was by Cokie Roberts and her husband Stephen. It's called Don't Forget the Flowers. She talks about just little courtesies that a man and wife can do for each other and how it smooths things. I loved how she wrote this. Another one that I enjoyed is A Good Man is Hard to Raise by Stacy Oaken. And she, this woman, Stacy, has three little boys, and she's trying to teach them how to be mannerly. She lives in a big apartment building that has an elevator, and in the elevator there's only one seat. There's also a doorman that runs the elevator, and one day she gets in the elevator with her three boys, and the boys always fight because each one of them wants to sit in that seat. Well, this day the doorman says to one of her sons, "Why don't you let the lady sit down?" He looks at the doorman and he says, "What lady?" So she realizes that she has a lot of work to do to teach these boys manners. I just love how she wrote this. It's very humorous, but she does get her point across about teaching children even beyond please and thank you. And again, the name of this book is called Social Graces, Words of Wisdom on Civility in a Changing Society. One of the books that we have is called A Child's Garden, 60 Ideas to Make Any Garden Come Alive for Children. This is a beautiful book. It has gorgeous pictures in it, and it's got original designs to make places for children to play and to experience the outdoors. And again, the name of it is A Child's Garden, 60 Ideas to Make Any Garden Come Alive for Children.
Well, thank you, Ellen. I count four books that you talked about today that I'm going to read. And I can see what you're saying about the book Law's Orchestra Saves the World. If the orchestra is mentioned in the title, it does seem like the author would spend a little more time talking about them and, as you say, developing the characters. Well, that's it for Ellen's Book Bites on Library Talk. I'm Rebecca Heaton with Ellen Borders. We'll see you at the library.